Let's be honest for a second about the most frustrating part of managing a content team right now.
It's not the blank page, is it?
No, not at all. It isn't finding writers either. It's that draft in progress purgatory.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows that feeling.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. I literally have a tab open on my laptop right now that is just mocking me.
How long has it been open?
3 weeks. It's a Google Doc. It has 47 comments down the side. The intro has been rewritten, I think, four times. The writer's frustrated, the editor is tired, and the whole piece just feels like, well, fuzzy. It's not ready to ship.
And the assumption is always that the team, can't write.
Exactly, or that the topic is just too difficult. But that is almost never the real root cause.
Right. Content teams don't fail because they lack vocabulary. They fail because those early decisions they're just too loose.
When the intent behind a piece of content is unclear, the intro just drifts.
And when the structure isn't pinned down from the start, the edits multiply, like exponentially.
And suddenly, you've burned an entire week of payroll on a single blog post that, frankly, probably isn't going to rank anyway. We need to fix the way we make decisions before we even type a single word.
That's the core of it.
Welcome to the Content Ship Podcast. This is a show about how content actually works today, not how it used to work. We talk about search, AI systems, and the operational side of producing content that survives change.
So today we are going to walk through a solution to that exact fuzzy decision problem.
We are. It's a specific framework called PACE. It's designed to take you from a vague idea to a publish-ready draft, just without all the chaos.
And by the end of this deep dive, you are going to understand how to build what we call a 30-minute outline that makes your content genuinely decision-ready.
And we're also going to give you a very simple tool, a QA grid, that stops you from publishing these, islands of content that just go nowhere.
We aren't just talking about writing better sentences here. You're talking about shipping faster without sacrificing any trust.
Okay, so let's unpack this. The framework is PACE. That's PACE. And it exists to solve the very specific ways that SEO content fails, especially now in 2026.
Right. Let's start with the first half of that, the P and the A. Problem and answer.
What's so fascinating about starting with P for problem is that it forces a complete shift in mindset.
It really does. Usually, a content brief starts with a keyword. We see a term with high search volume, and we just say, go write about that.
But keywords aren't problems.
No, they're not. They're just symptoms of a problem that a user's trying to solve.
So the P in PACE stands for problem, but what it really means is outcome.
Exactly. We have to move from targeting keywords to targeting outcomes.
Hmm.
If you look at most underperforming posts, the ones stuck in that draft purgatory,
Yeah.
they usually fail in really observable ways.
Like what?
Well, you see teams chasing a keyword, but then halfway through the draft, they realize they're trying to serve like three different types of readers at once.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Or, and this is a classic, you see intros that spend 250 words just setting the stage.
You know the ones. In today's fast-paced digital landscape.
Ugh. While the reader is just sitting there, annoyed, waiting for the actual answer.
So to fix this, the research from Mary and Igno suggests we have to start with something called the intent sentence.
Okay, this sounds critical.
It is. Before you outline, before you let an AI generate anything, you write one single sentence, and it pins down exactly what the searcher is trying to accomplish. This is search intent optimization in its most useful form. It forces you to be specific.
Let's use a real example because I feel like this is easy to get wrong.
It is.
A weak intent sentence would be something like, the reader wants to learn about SEO writing, which sounds okay on the
It
surface.
does, but it's useless as operational guidance. It's too broad. Does the reader want a definition, a history lesson? Do they want to hire someone?
If the intent is vague, everything that follows will be vague.
And that's where the editing nightmare starts. Now, compare that to a strong intent sentence. The reader wants a repeatable framework for SEO content writing so they can publish faster without sacrificing rankings or trust.
Ah, the difference there is night and day.
Right. The second one gives you a destination. It tells you speed matters, publish faster, and that quality matters without sacrificing trust.
So once you have that sentence, you can set what you call scope guardrails. Precisely. You just pick two or three success criteria. For that topic, success might be the reader can apply this framework on their very next draft, and they know what to do in the first 30 minutes. That's it. And if you don't set those guardrails,
Your draft becomes a mini encyclopedia. Every reviewer tries to add just one more thing, and the post bloats until it's totally unreadable.
I love that distinction. It stops that whole kitchen sink problem where we just throw everything in and hope something sticks. So once you have the problem defined, that strong intent sentence, you can move to A, the answer.
And the rule here is just so simple. Put the payoff in the first screen.
The answer first approach. And I want to be really clear here, because this is where writers sometimes push back. Answer first does not mean shallow.
No, not at all. It doesn't mean you give a two-word answer like, it depends, and then you're done.
Right. It means you give the core solution fast to earn the right to go deeper.
Think about those recipe blogs where you have to scroll past 800 words about someone's trip to Tuscany just to find out how much flour to use.
That is answer last content, and it is infuriating.
So a strong intro in the PACE framework follows a really specific sequence.
First, you define the reader's problem and intent immediately.
Then you answer it early with a clear structure or a summary.
Then you back it up with some proof.
Yep.
And only then do you connect it to the bigger picture.
We use something called a 10-second check for this. I recommend everyone listening try this on their current drafts. Just look at your opening paragraph and ask yourself, would a busy reader know within 10 seconds that this page solves their problem? And if the answer is no, if they have to scroll past a history lesson to find the solution.
You need to move the answer up. This also applies to your headings, right?
Absolutely. In the PACE framework, headings are functional, not decorative. They shouldn't be clever or vague.
They should map to the actual questions the reader has. So instead of a heading like the paradigm shift, use something like why traditional SEO fails. Or instead of getting started, use step one, download the template. When you structure your content this way, you stop fighting the reader's attention span and you start respecting it.
You're essentially saying, I know why you're here and here's the value. And that buys you the attention you need to explain the nuance later on.
That point about attention is vital. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, you know, the internet in 2026, answer first is really about trust.
Yes. This is where the conversation moves from just good writing into, well, survival.
We are living in an era where credibility is the primary differentiator. We have access to AI that can generate fluent, perfect text in seconds.
But we have to remember that fluency does not equal authority. An AI can write a very smooth paragraph that sounds confident, but is, well, it's completely untethered from reality.
And readers know this. They're skeptical. They're scanning for signals that a human being who actually knows what they're talking about is behind the wheel.
So while we just covered structuring the answer, the second half of the PACE framework, credibility and expansion, is all about proving that answer.
It's about moving from here is some text to here is advice you can actually bank on, which brings us to C for credibility.
Right. And when we talk about credibility, a really useful lens is Google's own search quality rater guidelines.
Those are the instructions Google gives to its human raters to evaluate search results.
And the core thing they look for is trust. So how do we operationalize trust in our writing?
First, a citation strategy. But this doesn't mean you need a footnote for every single sentence like an academic paper.
No, that would just disrupt the flow. You need to cite the parts that actually affect what the reader does next.
Okay, so if you're defining a technical term, cite the source. If you're describing a medical fact, cite the primary documentation.
And if you're making a claim about how Google search works, link to Google Search Essentials, not just some random blog's opinion.
But the most powerful tool for credibility, and it's the one almost nobody uses enough, is this concept of constraints.
This is probably the easiest credibility win available to you. A constraint is simply admitting where your advice doesn't work. Let's role play this for a second. Imagine you're reading an article about new software. Article A says, this software is perfect for everyone. Saves time, money, easy to use. Okay? And Article B says, this software is excellent for small creative teams, but it lacks the enterprise security features for companies with over 500 employees. If you're a large corporation, look elsewhere.
Which one do you trust?
Article B, every time.
Of course. When you admit where your solution fails, the reader instinctively believes you about where it works.
It proves you aren't just selling some magic bullet. You're actually analyzing a system. It makes the advice more usable.
And that's something fluent AI text rarely does.
Yeah.
It tends to be universally positive and, you know, vague. Humans understand nuance.
I want to pause for just a second here. If you are finding this breakdown of the PACE framework useful for your own team, if you're realizing you might need to add some constraints to that draft stuck in purgatory, take a second to follow or subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. It really helps us keep doing these deep dives.
Okay, let's get to the final letter in the framework, E for expansion. So we've covered problem, answer, and credibility. Expansion is all about achieving depth without the bloat.
And this is where a lot of teams lose momentum. They try to make a post comprehensive by just cramming every possible related fact onto one page.
And the page gets longer, but it doesn't actually get any clearer.
A better mental model is layering.
Layer one is that direct answer we talked about at the start.
Layer two is the framework or the method itself.
Layer three is where you put your work examples and those constraints we just mentioned.
And layer four, that's for internal links. Right. And internal linking is so often treated as just cleanup. You finish the post, and then you scramble to find three other posts to link to because some SEO plugin told you to.
That is such a mistake. Internal linking is architecture. It's content design.
We recommend what we call a three-link policy for every piece of content. Every post should have at least three specific types of links to guide the reader.
First, a next step page. What should the reader do after reading this? If they just learned a strategy, link them to the template to actually execute it.
Second, a deep dive page. Link to a core concept you mentioned but didn't have time to fully explain. This keeps your main article focused.
And third, a proof page. So you link to a case study or data that backs up your claims. And a quick technical note here, Google has specific documentation on making links crawlable. The links have to be contextually relevant. The anchor text needs to tell the search engine what that next page is about. This helps search systems understand your site's map of expertise. If your links are random, your authority looks random.
So the theory of pace problem, answer, credibility, expansion, it's solid. But I can hear the objection in our listeners' minds right now.
This sounds great, but I have to publish three articles by Friday.
Exactly. I don't have time for a philosophical debate about layering. And that's a fair point. Frameworks die if they are too slow.
So we have to operationalize this. We need to turn the theory into a workflow that actually fits into a busy calendar.
And this brings us to the 30-minute outline.
If you're trying to scale, you just cannot spend 3 hours staring at a blinking cursor. Yes. You need a routine. So here's a practical breakdown of how to spend that first 30 minutes, minute 0 to 5. Focus entirely on that intent sentence and your success criteria. Don't write a single heading yet.
Who is this for and what do they get?
If you get this wrong, the next 25 minutes are completely wasted.
Okay, so minutes 5 to 15. Draft your H2s, your headings.
Yeah.
Map them directly to the PACE framework. Ask yourself, which heading is the problem? Which is the answer?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the expansion? Then minutes 15 to 25. This is the step I think most people skip.
Totally. Spend 10 minutes filling in one worked example and one constraint. Don't just outline the theory, outline the proof.
So if you're writing about email marketing, don't just write a bullet that says, give examples.
Right.
Actually, write down, example, the abandoned cart sequence for a luxury brand versus a discount brand. It gives the writer clear direction.
Uh-huh.
And the last 5 minutes, 25 to 30.
List the internal links you're going to add. Don't hunt for them later. Pick them now so the writer knows how this piece fits into the larger puzzle.
The goal here isn't to make the outline perfect.
No, it's to make it decision ready. You want to get to a point where you can look at the structure and say, yes, this answers the intent, or no, we're missing a proof point. And we have to talk about the elephant in the room, AI. Where does that fit into this workflow? The rule is simple. AI is a draft engine, not a truth engine.
So in practice, you use AI to get to a first draft fast. Use it to generate that layer one answer or brainstorm structure based on your intents set.
But then you use humans for verification, for adding those specific constraints, and for providing real-world examples that an LLM just can't know.
That distinction between the drafting engine and the truth engine is the key to surviving the next few years of content. If you rely on AI for truth, you'll just publish average, sometimes hallucinated content.
But if you rely on it for drafting, you gain incredible speed.
So once that draft is written, how do you know it's actually done? How do we escape that draft in progress purgatory?
We use something called a publish QA grid.
Think of this as your definition of done. It's a simple checklist, but it saves so many headaches. Before you hit publish, you run the piece through this grid. First, intent match. Do the intro and H2s actually match the intent sentence you wrote?
Are the headings question-led and short?
Are the title and meta tags clean?
Are sources cited? Did we include a constraint?
Do we have those three contextual links?
This creates a weekly loop for your team. You pick 3 to 5 topics based on reader jobs, not just keywords. You draft them using PACE. You run the QA grid. You publish. And then, and this is the part people forget, you review it. After 2 to 4 weeks, look at Search Console. and ask one question. Did we match the query patterns we're actually getting impressions for? This removes the mystery. You aren't guessing why you ranked or didn't rank. You can see if your intent sentence actually matched reality. So to wrap this up, let's recap.
SEO content doesn't fail because we don't know best practices. It fails because our decisions are, well, ungoverned.
We let intros drift, we let arguments go unproven, and we treat links like an afterthought. The key takeaways from this deep dive are pretty clear.
Stop targeting keywords and start targeting outcomes. Use that intent sentence to force specificity before you write anything.
Answer early. Use the PACE structure to give value in the first screen. Don't make the reader hunt for it.
Prove it with constraints. Credibility comes from confidently saying when your advice doesn't work. That's a human signal that AI really struggles to fake. And number four, design your links. Internal linking is the architecture of your site, not just some cleanup task you do at the end.
I want to leave you with one final thought. We talk a lot about optimizing content, but maybe the future isn't about search engine optimization at all.
What do you mean?
Well, if AI can produce infinite fluent text, the only scarcity left is a verifiable human reputation.
It makes you wonder, are we approaching a time where content without a named, verifiable author is just automatically assumed to be spam?
Maybe the next big shift isn't about algorithms at all, but about biography optimization, proving that you're a real person who has actually done the work.
To learn more about operationalizing these workflows and to see how we handle this at scale, visit www.contentship.io. Thanks for listening.